Well, here's the thing. After engaging with our team and appearing on that first season and him going on record with the fact that he was documenting these things along with our team, he was summoned to the Pentagon and ended up being asked to be the chief scientist of the UAP task force, had to go under a non-disclosure agreement and was bound by certain national security oaths for years before he could reveal that he had been part of that effort. That created some great concern with my team. In fact, Dragon in particular, I think wanted to fight Dr. Taylor. I think he wanted to go to blows with Dr. Taylor over it, and it was pretty heated at first.
Hey, Unexplained Ones, if you'd like to support the show, one of the best ways to do so is at our YouTube store. Just head over to youtube.com/@allthingsunexplained, and there you can check out our store with hoodies, hats, coffee mugs, and more. You can also help us out on YouTube with Super Chat, Super Stickers, and Super Thanks. Look for that right beside the chat bar. The final way you can support the show, head over to bigfootufo.com. And remember, the truth is still out there.
I am here to discuss the so-called flying saucers.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's.
Did the CIA write Wind of Change by the Scorpions?
As humans busied themselves about the various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied.
Dr. Loeb, what percentage chance do you give it that you have indeed uncovered extraterrestrial or non-human technology?
With infinite complacence, people went about their affairs, yet across an immense ethereal gulf, intellects vast and unsympathetic drew their plans against us.
All of a sudden, a stick out of nowhere landed right in front of us, and there was no tree, nothing overhead. Something threw it at us.
Yeah.
All things unexplained.
So some of that, I think, sir, we'll save for close-up.
Hello, all you unexplained ones. We are so excited for this show. What a treat for all of our listeners. We have the man, the myth, the legend, Brandon Fugel, joining us this evening as we talk about the brand new season of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. And I know you're all jealous because you all have questions for Brandon, but we get to be the ones to ask. So, Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you. There's a lot going on at Skinwalker Ranch right now. And of course, we've been anxious to unveil everything that transpired over the course of this dynamic last year. So it's fun to connect with you and look forward to diving into the full update.
Yeah, so we're in season 5, and this new episode is going to premiere right after our show, so April 23rd at 10, 9 Central. So when you're done listening to us here, you're going to head right on over to the History Channel so you can check it out. But let's dive into, Brandon, how on earth did you ever decide that you wanted to purchase Skinwalker Ranch?
You know, I wasn't actually interested in purchasing Skinwalker Ranch, and it really wasn't even on my radar at all back in 2015 when I was approached by some consulting scientists that had worked on another project that happened to be the trusted science advisors to Robert Bigelow, the aerospace billionaire out of Las Vegas who previously owned the property. They reached out with the opportunity to make an introduction to have me meet Mr. Bigelow and the opportunity to potentially purchase the property. I was intrigued. I was skeptical and told them that even though I had heard about the ranch and had read a bit in years past, I really didn't think that there was anything real going on there. In fact, at the time I was a skeptic. I'd never seen a UFO, a ghost, orb or anything of the sort. and it had become, you know, pretty skeptical of these topics. And so I was, of course, very intrigued by the opportunity to meet with an individual that had great success in commercial real estate. He was the developer of the Budget Suites of America extended hotel chain and had transitioned into the space race. It acquired the Space Habitats program from NASA and had been positioning with NASA and others like Elon Musk, SpaceX, to be the real estate developer of space and take his inflatable space program forward. So the ranch had become something kind of more in his rearview mirror, even though it had been part of a Pentagon-funded black budget program for a number of years. His gaze and focus had turned toward his space-related activities, and this was an opportunity that these consulting scientists saw as potentially passing the torch. They saw me as someone who could purchase the property and be a successor at a time where Mr. Bigelow had changed focus. So with that, I flew into Las Vegas and met with him. We became fast friends. I expressed my skepticism, but we in essence struck a deal and turned it over to our attorneys, and the rest is history. I closed on the property on right around April 1st, April Fool's Day of 2016, and proceeded to bring in my own team with the intent to identify really the natural prosaic explanation associated with what had happened on the property and in the surrounding area, truly believing that it was nothing more than the product of groupthink and a lot of superstition. And so I proceeded to make moves to study the property. And it wasn't until about 6 months after acquiring the property that I had my own experience. I was flying in and touring the property and meeting with my people on a monthly basis, never feeling or having any type of strange experience. It's a strikingly beautiful backdrop. You have that Red Rock Mesa plateau that runs the expanse of the property with cave systems. You have several old pioneer homesteads that are scattered across the property that add a kind of a haunting, very curious backdrop to the property. And then you have water. You have these waterways that snake through the property. And I was really taken aback by how beautiful and diverse that landscape was. And then the world changed for me after 6 months. And on one fateful day, I had my own experience or experiences that shifted me from being a skeptic to not a believer, but an experiencer. And I doubled down and proceeded to allocate the money, the time, resource, and personnel to document the reality of what is happening at Skinwalker Ranch and understand the nature of it. So that's what brings us here today. I mean, there was no intent to have any docuseries effort on television. None of my team had been on television. I'd never had any desire to be part of any type of televised effort. I, focused my entire career since 1991 on commercial real estate, leading the largest commercial real estate firm in the region. And I grew Coldwell Banker Commercial Advisors to be the largest, or not the largest, but the fastest growing privately held firm at the time, over the mid 2010s, before merging with Colliers International and partnering with them. But this is a really unconventional and unexpected twist to my life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that you said, Robert Bigelow went from real estate to space. I thought to myself, well, that's a strange jump. But then you said to become the real estate developer of space. And I thought, wow, this is really miraculous. And that probably is what he is doing. And when he gave you the ranch or sold you the ranch, did he give you any insight, any tips, where to look, what to look for? Or did you just say, I'm done?
Didn't turn over any data. When I acquired the property from him, I acquired it as is. And it was with.
Do you think he took anything from the ranch before he left? Have you ever wondered what was here that's gone now?
That's a good question. Of course, they had been running a program, a scientific program that was, you know, part of that Pentagon funded black budget effort to study the ranch and related topics. But when I acquired the property, it was really run down. There really wasn't any technology. There was no real fiber optic infrastructure that would support Wi-Fi. There was no gated entrance like we have now with the military grade gate and the guard shack. It was really just a nondescript rundown ranch out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, even the even the septic system didn't really work properly when I acquired the property. And, you know, for the first several months, a lot of our efforts were focused on just updating the infrastructure just to make it a little bit more livable and presentable. But there was no active camera surveillance. In fact, Mr. Bigelow's team at the time, his security that had been monitoring the property since his acquisition back in 1996, they were reporting to him through fax machine. And I'm not kidding. This is back, you know, 2015, 2016, when I acquired the property. The reports going back to Mr. Bigelow were via fax. I hadn't used a fax machine for a very long time. That gives you an idea relative to the state of the technology and whatever platforms.
Sure. Yeah, you guys have definitely upped the technology since then. When we had Eric on our podcast, he was in the actual studio. It was unbelievable how much tech was sitting behind him. But there seems to be something about this ranch that everybody is drawn to. There's not a single person in the UFO UAP world that we've connected with that doesn't have some insight or connection to Skinwalker Ranch. And now you guys have this giant following on the History Channel. I've never seen fans like the Skinwalker Ranch fans, truly. They are so into what it is that you guys do. What do you think it is about the ranch that draws people to it, that draws our attention?
Good question. You know, Skinwalker Ranch is truly the center of gravity or ground zero for the paranormal. For whatever reason, you see so much converging and occurring on that property. It isn't just UFO or UAP activity. It's, you know, we've had reports of cryptids. We've had, you know, very strange electromagnetic anomalies, equipment malfunctions, people that have observed dark, you know, shadow figures and what many people would think or refer to as poltergeist-like phenomena. So it runs the full gamut. For whatever reason, there seems to be a diversity of origins, agendas, and types of phenomena that converge on this property that we've been documenting under my investigation and presenting to the public through the lens of this unprecedented docuseries effort. I do not believe there's been another effort like this in history, assembling a team, a multidisciplinary team of experts and personnel focus on this. I mean, our investigation, even though the filming, you know, the documentary crew is there for approximately 4 months of the year, we are working year round. I mean, this property is manned, 24/7, 365 days a year, and we have a full NASA mission control equivalent with scientific platforms deployed around the clock in service to documenting and understanding the nature of the phenomena. And it is truly historic.
It sure seems that way. And Tim, I've got one more question before I'll throw it your way. But last time we had Eric and Thomas on our show, after we wrapped, Eric said, I wish we had more time to talk because I really wanted to discuss how the ranch reacts to specific people. It seems like it reacts differently to various different individuals. Have you seen that? How does it react to you? Is there anybody specifically that seems to just really charge the ranch up while they're there?
Yeah, we have data. We have an abundance of data and spreadsheets and have been tracking the nature of these interactions and the effects on people. We advise everyone who comes to the ranch, who enters the ranch, to prepare themselves spiritually or consciously to enter with the spirit of reverence and humility. When you've seen on the program, you know, myself and my brother and others offer prayer before entering even the airspace of the property. That is not made for TV. That's not conjured up. In fact, we were very uncomfortable about that being shown on the docuseries because it's a bit vulnerable. I mean, it's personal.
Sure.
But it's a reality. It's a day-to-day reality out there. Those who bring an adversarial spirit, a bad attitude, or engage at the ranch in a negative way, more often than not, end up having very negative experiences, even ending up in the hospital with mysterious illnesses and injuries. A number of, you know, team members have unfortunately ended up in the hospital, in the emergency room with strange illnesses and injuries as a result of their work at the ranch. Visitors, same thing. Even Bigelow's team, you know, from decades past, have had experiences where negative things have followed them, have occurred. Many people refer to it as the dreaded hitchhiker effect, where phenomena follows people home. And long after they leave the ranch, they end up having negative things or strange phenomena in some cases, even not negative, but curious that end up occurring. But there is definitely something about the environment that responds to the individuals that enter. And so we tell everyone, enter with great caution.
Yes.
That's some good advice. I am Dr. Mouse. I'm joined by my co-host, CJ Derringer. And we are so pleased to have Brandon Fugel with us, owner of Skinwalker Ranch. If you're enjoying this video, please make sure to subscribe, comment, like, and share. It really helps us out. And immediately after tonight's episode, make sure to flip over to the History Channel for the Season 5 premiere of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. CJ and I have been lucky enough to catch a sneak preview of Season 5, and it looks amazing. I'm just going to tell you, it looks out of this world. And Brandon, you know, you mentioned several paranormal situations at Skinwalker Ranch. It's almost like it could be a paranormal theme park one day if you ever decide to turn it into a theme park. And if you did do that, what do you think would be the biggest attraction? Like, everybody gets in line. You know, what do you think would be the biggest pull?
Oh, that's not going to be in the cards. In fact, we not allow any public access at all. I have no intention of ever opening up to the public simply because there are liability issues. People have been injured and continue to be injured and have negative things happen. We are also dealing with a very sensitive ongoing scientific investigation. Anytime you introduce something new into that environment, it has the potential of compromising the experiment and the research and the observational data that is so important to understanding the nature of the phenomena and what we are interacting with there at Skinwalker Ranch. So my own children will never be allowed to enter this property. I don't even want my children coming here simply because of the risks involved with entering this property. You never know. We're dealing with phenomena that is not only unexplained, but also has command over the environment, over time, space, and also consciousness in some cases. And, you know, there are both malevolent and, you know, benevolent and benign forces at play that we're still trying to wrap, you know, our minds around and still trying to understand. So it's a dynamic environment and one that you can't take lightly.
Absolutely. And we actually have a little 1 minute promo for Season 5 of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, which we are going to show everybody. But before we do that, Brandon, as you are well aware, Skinwalker Ranch has a very complex history. It's kind of intriguing, you know, even before the show, people like CJ and I, we're already fans and familiar with Skinwalker Ranch. And then you acquire the property and it just goes to a whole other level. Well, given this complex history, Brandon, and the show, how do you balance preserving the mystique of the property, which is important to people, but also with sharing the secrets of the property on your show, which is also very important?
Well, I'll quote Eric Bard, our principal investigator, chief scientist, and full-time researcher who is out there on the property and interacting with our other team members on a constant basis. We are not led by the data, or excuse me, we are not led by an inherited narrative, but by the data. We are a data-driven effort, and we're letting the science and the hard data actually guide us as far as what we need to be doing in order to better understand what is happening. I mentioned I was a skeptic when I acquired the property. I felt like there was just a lot of superstition and whatnot. I mean, the name Skinwalker Ranch was really derived from Native American legend. You know, the ridge that runs the expanse of that property, that Mesa Plateau, was referred to for generations as Skinwalker Ridge. And, you know, the Skinwalkers are demonic shape-shifting entities of Native American lore and heritage that supposedly are a part of the rich history relative to this property and the surrounding properties there in the basin. I think we try to always have a reverence and a respect for that cultural history. We've engaged Native American spiritual leaders, shaman, and others in service to having the right type of guidance and tone drive our investigation. We're the first to admit that we're in uncharted territory. This is frontier science and investigation at its best, and having an open mind, but being led by the data and using the scientific method is something that really differentiates this effort and our open policy to the public. Our transparency and engagement is unprecedented. Again, I don't know of another effort globally like this, where you have the scientists and ownership engaging with the public and transparently presenting in full public view the results of the investigation and the ongoing efforts. And this docuseries on History Channel and A&E Network is our, you know, vehicle, primary vehicle to a degree, other than our website and our web portal, for informing the public. So it's interesting. We also have a live stream and an insider program, an insider community at skinwalker-ranch.com, where people can actually see the ranch and have full camera views of the property 24/7, 365 days a year, and be part of the investigation. But there just isn't anything like it.
You're absolutely right. And I want to give a shout out to the Skinwalker Ranch insiders. They are amazing. CJ and I have gotten to know quite a few of them, and they're really great.
We're big
fans.
They
are passionate. Yes, they are passionate about the show, and they really love the show. And speaking of that, after tonight, after we're done here, if you like this video, by the way, make sure to subscribe, like, comment, and share. But then immediately turn over to the History Channel for the season 5 premiere of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch right after the show. And I think without further ado, it's time for a little sneak peek of Skinwalker Ranch.
Bring it
season
on.
5. Here we go.
The cusp of discovering the secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
The world is watching.
This season on The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
We need to flood Skinwalker Ranch with instruments.
Maybe we send 1.6 gigahertz at it.
This is unlike any experiment we've done before.
Heads up, they're coming down!
Oh my God.
Is there some invisible force causing this to happen?
What is inside the mesa?
Look at that. It's like jelly. I don't know what the hell that is.
the data shows the triangle could be a wormhole.
No way.
I don't think the public is ready for what you got.
Is the military letting us know we're being watched?
Do they know something we don't?
What is that?
The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. New season premieres Tuesday, April 23rd at 10. Part of History's Strange and Unusual. Only on the History Channel.
Ooh, I've got chills.
There it is.
So
there
excited. It is. We just love this show so much. Oh. That preview is fantastic. There's another one out there that shows a lot of, I think it's all the drones falling from the sky. Like there was something caused all of the drones. Oh. I can't it's wait for most, that episode.
Yeah, it's the most dramatic season yet of Discovery. And we've been dying to be able to unveil what has occurred this past year. It's mind-blowing. I think people are going to be quite shocked at some of the events that unfold during our investigation. Again, we engage people, you know, subject matter experts. We have third-party experts, scientists, engineers, technologists that are involved with virtually every experiment. And I will say, without exception, these people leave the ranch completely changed after their work and their engagement. And most of them enter like I did as skeptics that are just there to do a job and participate with an experiment or some specific research study and leave as experiencers, not believers, but as experiencers that have witnessed phenomena with their own eyes. And seeing things occur that leave them scratching their head. So it's quite exciting, and we're anxious to unveil what has transpired.
Yes, I know for me and for lots of people that I asked when I said, "Hey, we're having Brandon on the show. What would you ask Brandon if he came on?" Everybody wants to know what's in that mesa. We're all dying to know. What Same. Is beneath that mesa? I know you are too. And I know you guys continue to, dig and try and drill in there and see what it is. But on one season, I believe it was last season, you guys found a metal that you took to have looked at by experts. And that metal matched the type of metal that we use on our space shuttles here. What did you guys make of that? The naturally occurring or?
Well, that's the thing that is so baffling in exploring the mesa. We've extracted material that we're told is not a natural origin, that the composition of these wafer-like fragments do not match anything in nature and appear to be manufactured and bound together in an interesting fashion. To have material extracted from 400 feet within an ancient red rock plateau and to have the equipment malfunctions continually plague every expert drilling operator that comes out to the property. I mean, these are seasoned, qualified drilling experts that have worked in the oil and gas industry for decades and have the most advanced equipment for drilling and exploration that continue to have all sorts of strange things happen to their equipment and have their efforts blocked at every turn.
What do you think? I mean, in terms of, I know it's only conjecture at this point because nobody really knows, but what's sort of the hunch about what might be
something unusual is there. I mean, there's an old ancient symbol on the face of the mesa in one particular part of the ranch that we've been told symbolizes as above, so below. We really are seeing strange phenomena both above the property and experiencing and documenting things that continue to intrigue us below. One thing people need to bear in mind relative to the mesa and that exploratory activity is the environment there is very dangerous. I mean, the entire top of the mesa and at several points is really encompassed with these large boulders. I mean, the size of vehicles that are very unstable that come down and can come down at any time. and kill people. It's a very unstable, dangerous environment, and we don't want to damage the very thing that we're looking to investigate and hopefully document. If there is something, if there is some technology embedded that is buried in that mesa, we don't want to damage it. We don't want to destroy or damage the very thing that we hope to study. And so we are conducting this research and this digging process as if we are conducting a medical biopsy with sensitivity, using advanced instrumentation and equipment and experts. And we're excited to show what has happened and what we've continued to unearth as we propelled the investigation forward.
Yes. Well, it all makes sense that you've got to be very careful while you guys dig into that mesa there. All right. We've got some listener questions that we would love to bring up here because, again, the fans are just so, so positive and love your show. And then we might dive into some hot takes if we have a few minutes left. But this comes from Carissa Dahick on LinkedIn. Which item, and this is a personal question for you, in your private collection is your favorite and why? And you are a collector.
Yeah. You know, it depends on the week. My favorite item from my collection, the evil doll from Poltergeist. You know, they made one wicked doll from the classic movie with Steven Spielberg, Poltergeist. That sits in a glass case that is locked, by the way, from the outside in my office. I recently acquired the Chucky doll from Child's Play, the original movie. That's a great prop. But I'm a child of the 80s, and you know, a lot of my perspective is informed by the pop culture of the time. Indiana Jones was a favorite of mine. You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones. I have Indiana Jones bullwhip signed by Harrison Ford from Temple of Doom. And you know, it comes with a letter of authenticity from him, signifying that that was the bullwhip that he used on screen. And I'd say, you know, there are objects like the Bible from Shawshank Redemption, the rock hammer Bible, the Bible that was hollowed out to conceal the rock hammer that ultimately was the method of Andy Dufresne's escape in that classic beloved movie, Shawshank Redemption. So it depends. So it depends on when you ask me or what week, but I continue to grow my collection of cultural artifacts from pop culture and also history. I mean, Shakespeare folios and other material end up being key parts of my collection as well. Next question. So it looks like, how has Skinwalker Ranch affected your personal, religious, or spiritual views? That's a really good question. Most faith traditions attempt to explain where we came from, why we're here, where we're going. But we typically have not seen on this planet an effort that uses the scientific method and a data-driven approach to address those topics. I was raised to believe that there are worlds without number, that we're not alone in the universe, that we are part of a divinely constructed, intelligently designed reality. But proving that scientifically and documenting the nature of that and the validity is quite another endeavor, if you will. I had gone through a bit of a faith crisis before I purchased the property and was struggling with belief. As I mentioned earlier, I was a skeptic. I was very skeptical of organized religion and even my own faith tradition privately at the time. And I will tell you that what I've witnessed at Skinwalker Ranch with my own eyes, what we've been documenting, has been a part of me changing my perspective. Even though we aren't driven by some religious imperative by any stretch. In fact, members of my team come from all points of the spectrum and sides. But I would say it is my experiences at Skinwalker Ranch and what we are documenting has only served to strengthen my own faith tradition. And I've really come to appreciate that. It's been a transformational experience for me.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And what a great question that came from Nikki Starchild, the host of the Alien Girl 111 podcast. So thank you, Nikki, for that question. That was a great one. All right, Brandon, can we have you for two more minutes and get just a couple hot takes on a few? Yay. Okay. Yay. Wonderful. All right, Tim, I'm going to throw some hot takes to you.
Okay, great. We appreciate that so much. We're talking to Brandon Fugel, and we just want your quick reaction on some hot takes here. I know that you'll get this one, Brandon. You can only pick one, adamantium or vibranium.
Ooh. Well, obviously I picked adamantium as opposed to vibranium. You know, vibranium, of course, in Marvel lore is Captain America's shield. His shield is constructed that. But adamantium is what Wolverine's skeletal structure and his claws are forged from. And I find, Wolverine to be quite a compelling figure. It's an alloy that is of extraterrestrial or otherworldly origin. Adamantium is in the lore an alien indestructible or virtually indestructible alloy. And when I purchased the property and formed an entity called Adamantium Real Estate to hold the property, I was kind of giving a nod to that effort. I like to look at my effort as being unimpeachable, as being indestructible, and it's a fun take.
Definitely. Terminator or Predator?
Terminator.
Terminator.
Terminator, hands down. I don't know. Have you all seen the Terminator, the original Terminator with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be shocking to Tim, but I have.
Then it's a love story. It's the greatest love story in the movies. And it's an incredible franchise. I have Arnold Schwarzenegger's jacket from the original Terminator with fake blood and bullet holes. I have his arm, his T-800 arm from T2.
What?
A lot of pieces. In fact, I probably have, I think, the most significant collection of Terminator items that were used on screen in that incredible series. And, the implications of artificial intelligence, AI, on the world is something that was explored decades ago by James Cameron. Now, I will say in my office, I have a full-sized costume from Alien versus Predator that is terrifying and disturbing to many people who visit. So I do have a love for the Predator franchise, but I would have to say Terminator.
And you know what? While we were watching Predator in theaters, who would have thought that, I'm looking at two future governors here. That's pretty Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No kidding. Hey, we live in strange times. Maybe that's the evidence do live in a simulated reality of sorts.
Absolutely. And Brandon, you can only go to one more concert the rest of your life. Wow. And it's one
Depeche
of these
Mode.
Two.
Depeche Mode. would I go to Depeche Mode or Duran Duran? Well, I love both bands, but my number one favorite band of all time is Depeche Mode. My favorite song of all time is Stripped off of the Black Celebration album. It's a masterpiece. I will say, as a child of the 80s, I can't deny Duran Duran's impact, and I absolutely love the artistry and performance brilliance of Duran Duran. In fact, last year, went to both of them in concert, and just have great admiration for those bands and their contribution to the soundtrack of our lives.
That's for sure. They're classic. And I have one more hot take for you, Brandon. And I got to ask this hot take to Eric Bard and Thomas Winterton. And there was a strange long, awkward silence after I asked it. So I'm curious to see what your hot take is on Travis Taylor.
Dr. Taylor. I love Dr. Taylor. I was a bit hesitant. Dr. Taylor is the only member of our effort, our team, that actually had been on television before. And he was recommended by the History Channel and A&E. In fact, I didn't want anyone but our team to be involved with the docuseries effort. That was one of my conditions, along with the fact that nothing could be faked, manipulated, or contrived. They recommended that we bring in someone who was credentialed, that was a skeptic, that could help challenge the team and many of the claims and the topics being addressed. And I'd say there was some tension, very, very real tension between team members and Dr. Taylor as we commenced the effort. It was an interesting collaboration, throwing all these people together with Dr. Taylor. But he has become not just a believer, but an experiencer, and is wanting answers more than anyone. Also, Dr. Taylor was revealed to be the confidential chief scientist of the UAP task force with the Pentagon in years past. That was something that he unfortunately kept from us for a number of years. And that may have been
real life drama, right? Like, you can't make that up.
Well, here's the thing. After engaging with our team and appearing on that first season of our, hit docuseries, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, and him going on record with the fact that he was documenting these things along with our team, he was summoned to the Pentagon and ended up being asked to be the chief scientist of the UAP task force. Had to go under a non-disclosure agreement and was bound by certain national security oaths for years before he could reveal that he had been part of that effort. That created some great concern with my team. In fact, Dragon, in particular, I think wanted to fight Dr. Taylor. I think he wanted to go to blows with Dr. Taylor over it. And it was pretty heated at first. But I have to tell you, I respect the fact that he kept those confidences. The very fact that he did not reveal that he didn't bring us into his confidence, and he did not breach those oaths, underscores his integrity. And it confirms that he really does have integrity. He has multiple PhDs, 3 master degrees. Think about that. You have one individual here who has multiple PhDs in physics. He has 3 master's degrees in physics, engineering, and has worked with NASA, the Department of Defense, on classified programs for decades. Anyone who questions his credentials as a key member of our team and effort is not doing their due diligence and is ignorant.
Yes, everybody loves Travis Taylor. And when we had Eric and Thomas on, they had nothing but praise for him. He is a character and brilliant and wonderful. And we are so grateful to him and you for all that you guys do out there at Skinwalker Ranch. And speaking of that, the new season airs tonight, right after this. Swing on over to the History Channel, 10, 9 Central. Brandon, we know that you are a highly sought after figure and a very busy man, and we don't take that for granted. We thank you so much for coming on All Things Unexplained, sharing your insight with us, giving us a little insider tip here and there. And
thank you.
You'll come join us again.
Absolutely. And thank you, and thank everyone for their continued interest and being part of our journey. You're seeing it unfold.
You guys make it easy.
In public view, we've disclosed and been transparent in what we're engaged with, and we look forward to having future dialogue regarding these topics and making history. I believe these topics are truly the most significant in the history of the world to be addressing, and we're privileged to be a part of this effort. So good luck and thank you. I look forward to comparing notes in the future.
Yes, thank you so much. And once again, those of you that are tuning in, we appreciate you. Please do like, subscribe, follow, and join us on the rest of our journey. Tim, I'm going to throw it to you.
All right, everybody, as we conclude our exploration of Skinwalker Ranch with Brandon Fugel, remember this. Sometimes the answers we seek lie not in the depths of the unknown, but in the quiet of nature. So let's get off our screens when we're not watching The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. Let's head out to the woods, look up at the sky, and dare to embrace the mysteries that surround us all. For in that journey, you may just find more than skinwalkers. You may find yourself. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Brandon.
All things unexplained.
What's your hot take on Travis Taylor?
I've got an exclusive for you guys if you want it about the Alaska.
We do.
Okay.
Dr. Taylor was revealed to be the chief scientist of the UAP task force with the Pentagon.
So some of that, I think, sir, we'll save for post-session.